More questions on ACA fundraising. Welcome to the June 10th edition of Policy in Practice, the weekly podcast from IM&G Medical Media. I'm Mary Ellen Schneider, sitting in for Nick Pagheri. There are still lots of questions about whether HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius crossed an ethical or even legal line in raising private funds to help pay for ACA enrollment. Well, last week she finally gave some answers. Secretary Sebelius said she made a total of 5 calls seeking help for the nonprofit group Enroll America. 3 of the calls were to groups regulated by HHS, Kaiser Permanente, Ascension Health, and Johnson & Johnson. She said she did not ask these groups to give money. She did, however, seek funds from H&R Block and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, groups not regulated by the agency. Here's Secretary Sebelius on the Hill answering questions from Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy of South Carolina.
I made fundraising solicitations to 2 groups who are not regulated. I did not discuss funding with the other 3 entities. I did discuss Enroll America. And I would tell you that the statutory authority, Section 1704 in the Public Health Service Act, would not make that distinction. I could legally solicit funds from anybody regulated by our office. I chose not to do that. But promoting a public-private partnership, you bet.
But Republicans on Capitol Hill were not satisfied with that explanation. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is expanding its investigation into the secretary's calls and those made by her staff. Meanwhile, a new study confirms what most doctors already know. Electronic health records can be hard to use and still aren't living up to their potential. In a survey conducted in late 2011 and early 2012, researchers found that about 40% of doctors were using a basic EHR. That's a system that allows them to view lab and radiology results and send electronic prescriptions. But only about 10% met meaningful use requirements. Mostly, doctors reported trouble exchanging clinical data and generating quality information. The meaningful use numbers are far below what federal officials reported a couple of weeks ago, but experts say the discrepancy is based on timing. Back on Capitol Hill, House Republicans continued hearings on their proposal to replace Medicare's sustainable growth rate formula. The latest hearing focused on how to reward physicians for delivering quality care. The Republicans' proposal has been accused of being pretty light on just how to do that, and in fact, it puts a strong emphasis on preserving fee-for-service. Some witnesses said that it was crucial to move away from a fee-for-service-based system. But Dr. Jeffrey Rich, a cardiothoracic surgeon who also had a stint as head of CMS's Center for Medicare Management, said he thought the Republican proposal was credible. Here's Dr. Rich.
Having said at CMS and seen other thoughts and legislation coming out of here, I think this is probably the most thoughtful, well-rounded, and sought-after for input proposals out there.
House GOP members said they were confident they'd get a bill with bipartisan backing to the president's desk within a few months. A key health reform official, Richard Gilfillan, who has headed the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, will be leaving at the end of June. A replacement has not been announced. Meanwhile, someone who's seen it all when it comes to healthcare, past Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman John Dingell, is now the longest-serving lawmaker in U.S. history. On June 7th, the Michigan Democrat broke the record set by the late Senator Robert C. Byrd. Mr. Dingell came to Congress in 1955. And that's the Policy in Practice podcast. I'm Mary Ellen Schneider.